Okay. Good evening, Silbez Hashem. Talk to Stathis Man again with less interruption, I guess. The next mimer of the Ramchal that I wanted to see is called Mimer al HaGodos. It's a short mimer, and it deals with Agaritas, which the truth is, from many people today, Agaritas is a lot more vexing than abstract philosophical issues, proofs and stuff like that, doesn't bother people as much as issues of agadas that are strange or whatever. So we'll start. Hamamorim b'agadas is chalkul abeiz minim. There are two types of mamorim and agadas. Ha'alef klal hamorim halimudim. Mamorim that tell you specific things about, you know, what's right, what's wrong. Kois is like over the Zoran, that type of thing. Those are Limudim. Habiurim heim ashivarubom kosov mikisar kodesh. It is trying to tell you pshat in a pasuk. The straightforward musa that a person shouldn't be kois and a person should be mislotze, a person should that, I don't feel a need to speak about it. It's very clear what the ta'alus is, and they're very nice. And people don't have tainus on it. It's not; these are not things that people feel bad about it. We'll speak more about those who say pshat in psukim, and they seem to sort of distort the psukim, say wild pshatim, and things of that nature. It's interesting because there's another whole class where you have stories and things of that nature. He's dealing with two types of agaritas. Those agaritas that are telling you ke'ilu from Torah Shel Pe onwards, they're telling you what's right and what's wrong, and then the type of agadas that are telling you pshatim within psukim, those agadas tend to be extremely difficult to accept. They seem to be very roundabout and so on and so forth. Hine says, k'var yadato shema shehebel chazal lichter divei Torah Shel Pe. Down, and this is going to be, I guess, the underlying basis for what he's going to say in a certain sense. Hoya masheroyu masheroyu shayadeyas holchos imischalshos baruch hakolos v'liv zazmanim. We have to bear in mind that Torah Shel Peh was not meant to be written down. And Chazal saw that this could not keep going. People were becoming weaker. They couldn't just memorize all the shas. Vasvara miskatzeres, and the ability to figure things out in svara became less possible. V'nimtzes ha-Torah mishtakachas, and what would happen is Torah would be forgotten. Al kein bocharu b'shem eis lasas l'Hashem. That's why, because Ezas Hashem, they wrote down the Sefer, L'man Yeshoya Kayim Kol Hayomim, Hu Klal HaMishnah Gemara. So the Mishnah Gemara is very simple. The Pshatim that Chazal are in the mitzvahs, the Pirushim of the mitzvahs, and that's why Chazal put it down. V'hine, he says, is boy noy. So they said, listen, how to do Shabbos, we need to write down because people just don't have it anymore. They're forgetting and so on. It's true about Sisra Torah and Iker Loikius. So let's stop a second and understand. I want to focus very much on the words that he's saying here. he calls it the Sisser Torah, and Ikrei Elokius. In every group of instructions, of practical instructions, there is a hidden underlying theme. So, LaMashal, if I'm sitting down with you and telling you how to run a business, a person should always do this, should do that, this is how much he should borrow against what he has, and b'chulu, b'chulu, b'chulu. So there are the specifics. Don't borrow X amount of money. Service a customer in such and such a way, and so on and so forth. Then the underlying theme is, and this is how you will make a lot of profit, and so on. When a communist tells me his beliefs, so on one level he tells me what you're supposed to do. Everybody should be working for the state, everybody should work in communes, take as much as he needs, takes as much as he puts in, so on and so forth. And then there is an underlying svara. One svara might be that this is the most effective way for everybody to have what they need, or this is the fairest way for people to divide up what's around, and so on. In the world of Torah and mitzvahs, what is the hidden theme behind the prote hamaisius of the mitzvahs? What's the underlying theme that all of these mitzvahs are a means to get to it? And the answer is Ikra Loikis. It within Torah's secreted, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, which is an understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, that's the part of Torah that we will call the other part of Torah. And one cannot say that this is not Iker or important. We're not talking about a discipline, another discipline. We tend to think of Kabbalah, the muscle, as being another discipline. It has a din Torah, but it's a... No. Kabbalah is meant to be the understanding of what are all these mitzvahs focused on. What are these mitzvahs producing? So he says, Ach ein atikur shemotzel chelka mitzvahs rel chelka seinus. But the difference was, how were they going to preserve the mitzvahs? The sisra turned ikar like this. Now, why? Vezeh ki biurei hamitzvahs vehadinim ein hezek klal im yikosav v'sefer v'biyah golachol kairi. There's nothing wrong if in Masechta Shabbos you write down all of the if a person reads it and doesn't understand it, he's not going to do much. He'll just be frustrated, he'll be upset, but nothing's going to happen bad. Over here, Achelek HaSoidis Ein Roi Shemasakach Lebekoritz Hashem. The part of Soidis, it's not appropriate to give it over stop. Loi mitzad yikar muskolas, v'loi mitzad omko. There are two very, very big reasons why not to do it. One reason is, he says, the yikar muskolas. It means like this. A person, let's take an example. Imagine I have a vase of some sort that was created by an extraordinarily famous artist. It's a beautiful, beautiful vase. Let's also say that I'm an extremely wealthy person. And I can afford to replace as many of these kalim as that will break. I still will not give it to a four-year-old to play with it. And the reason is because there's something about giving an expensive, fragile item, such a hush of an item, to a child who doesn't appreciate it. To buy a gift for somebody who doesn't appreciate it, it's something about it that a fine person stays away from. So for me to buy an extraordinarily expensive painting to somebody that I could have gotten a street corner artist and it would have been just as happy, is something that, you know, it shows a lack of appreciation for Chachma. It shows that I don't value it. So giving a vart over only to someone who appreciates it is mitzvah the covet of the Torah. So that's one reason. So one reason is it's not an appropriate mahalach to give it over to those who don't appreciate it. That's one. So he says, im mitzad yikaram, ki eino kvodo shabar yisparach she masu star biyad anshi midas rayim. Vafil shachomer kumkomim, to give over Torah to somebody who's crass, who's vulgar, it's not a kavod. Let's take another example. Let's say there are personal things about my life. So things that are damaging, you know, where I put the money that I stole. So of course I don't share that knowledge with anybody. But let's say I have something about very personal, nothing bad, nothing good, some very personal experience. I still share it only with people I feel close to. There's something about the chashivas, because this is a very meaningful moment to me. I will share it with the people that I feel very close to. That's one mahalach. There's a second one. He says, "Ve'im mitzad omkom, she'enyonim be'emes amukim me'oid, lo yatzlichu bo, el anoshim zake aseichem lomodim bedakirin ha'etek, v'im yifku bom scholim gasim, af bildim lomodim be'yunim, yoytzion yonim amitim ha'ikorim, ishibusim b'deis rois." A second issue is as follows. Let's take halacha. So first of all, halachas are not very fine points, and anybody with even if his seichel is not so refined can get it down. And worst case scenario, the person will be over something, or he can ask right before he does something. So lemaisa, the possibility of anything happening bad to the person or to the chachma is slim. Let's go to the chelek that is what he calls aloikius. Things, understandings about your Rebbeinu Zayin Chaim. Imagine a person who is coarse, unrefined, unlearned, starts learning that the right hand side of a Kaddish Baruch Hu is chesed, the left hand side is this, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu wanted a world so that he should do this and this and this and this. So if the person is a very, very refined mind and he's able to sort of think of all these things in the abstract and think of it in terms of very kind of ruchnizika things, not terribly refined in thinking. The person is gas, is coarse. So yeah, there's a Kashmir's right hand and his left hand and his back and his front and this and that. And that's what he is. So the person is a bona fide apikairis. In other words, had the person not learned any of this fancy stuff, he'd be a regular maimon and so on. Now that he learns all this stuff, so first of all, somebody who's very, very coarse will put this all into physical realities. And that's a terrible thing. That's destroying emtayv. So If we were to give these refined ideas over to the Tzibur at large, we would end up making many people apikarsim. There's an old joke, the truth is not a joke. There were these Chassidim called Ashlag Chassidim in Eretz Yisrael, who believe that the most important part of Yiddishkeit is to spread Zohar. And everybody should learn it, big people, young people, old people. They've put out thousands and thousands of printings of Zohar, distributed, and they also are very into getting people to do get Pirush on it, and so on. So there's an old joke of sorts where a person who picked up, they got him into, roped him into learning Kabbalah and so on. A few weeks later, he's talking for David to his friends. He says, Rabbeisai, you say words and words and words, and you don't know what it means. So you say, L'chashem, Agdula, V'agvur, Tvezetz, V'ahoyit. None of you knows what it means, and you just say words. So yeah, they felt kind of very, very down. He said, so explain to us, what is Gdula, V'agvur, Tvezetz? So Gdula is Hashem Baruch Hu's right hand, who is his left hand, and Tiferes is his belly button. But, yes, because for that person, that's the world he's in. And everything becomes very physical. And then you end up destroying people. I mean, people become apikarsim. Vafilu sheyu imitzat omka shenyana be'emes amuki moit. This was also the reason, Moshe, the Rambam. The Rambam was against, obviously, simple people learning his Sefer. And part of that was this point, that you get very involved. These ideas that if you don't have a finer sense of understanding them, you translate it to the most physical, immediate physical counterpart, and that's usually very bad. So, they're going to make Deus Ross out of it, and so on. A side remark that I'd like to discuss a minute is the Rambam and others ask, if it's true, and that's why they very much did not think that people who are not smart, deep, refined thinkers should be also these things. So why does the Torah use only metaphors that you can make mistakes on? The Torah is filled with the hand of God. Charon Af would be translated his nostrils flared. Why would the Torah do that if you mean martial people and so on? So the Akedah says, others, it's that it was a toss-up between getting the message across and not getting people to make mistakes. The martial. If somebody is on the verge of, eating chaza. He's got this tremendous craving for chaza, and he's about to eat it. And I come and I tell them, if you can eat chaza, so there's like a very, very refined ruchnistic type of tzar, which we can't even understand, that affects a very, very refined part of your neshama that you're not even aware of, in ways that we don't even understand. So how much of a deterrent is that to doing what's wrong? On the other hand, if the Torah says if you don't do X, there's not going to be any rain, and if you do Y, there's not going to be any rain, that's concrete, that's, tachlis, and right word for it, the results that you expect, you're going to get from it. That's a key reason why the Torah will do it. So it says like this: Al kein gomru liftsoya sadin. So they decided to compromise. Vehainu, licht of oisam, to write them down, leman lo yavdu min aderes achronim, so that the deres achronim don't forget it. They needed to be written down. Ach bedrochim nelomim umine chidois, very hidden ways with riddles. Shalucha lamar alem al mishemosal maftechas. That you couldn't understand it unless someone gave you the keys for it. This is, I guess, today with computer age, we know all about keys that are given for you to understand, you know, and so on. But over here, he says that without us understanding what the Chazal really means, we don't. And that's why all of the Chazal that are strange, different, you know, because it's for many reasons we can't relate to it, that's because it's given, we don't have a Mafteach yet. Shilcha lamar alem al mishos Mafteachas v'ayna klolim shvem yuvnar mazim yifashkir esahim o mishos nimsar Mafteachas yilafonu kudira seifa achosim v'lanach tovu klam. So the seifa is so a person doesn't have these keys, then the Torah is going to be a seifa achosim, and it's meaningless. None of its pnimius seeps out. That's the cloud. So unless a person applies a certain key, it's not going to work. Let's speak a minute about what this implies. I sit down with someone else and we learn through a chazal. It's all very, very strange. I read a pshat into it. Now, if Chazal would have written it for anybody, but obviously if you're not smart enough, you can't get pshat, then my pshat is as good as your pshat, because we're both getting it off our interpretation of the story. So if somebody writes a story, it becomes very famous. So the right to interpret that story, the interpretation is going to have to be in line with whoever wrote the story. There's a key to it, and that key allows me. So if I tell a person, listen, this book is being written against the regime is communist, fascist. You check in the box. And therefore, it's very, very hard for people to get through and so on. So we need you to go down there and to see what's going on and to send it to us in code. So write things. So I, who know the Klol Matechis, know what this code is. It was written in code. So if I get a letter from somebody like that, so so on and so forth, obviously can't give you the name, and he sends a letter that Aunt Tilly just took a yearly vacation in Florida. So I come along and say, ha, Aunt Tilly refers to the big boat, because just like Aunt Tilly is very large, so too we're talking about the boat that's very large. And taking a trip to the south means that it's docking in Florida. And the fact that it says it's yearly means this and that and so forth. Someone else is sitting with me and says, boy, you've got an imagination. How'd you get from an innocent letter about Aunt Tilly to this whole fantasy? And the answer is, it's the other way around. I know that the person who wrote this letter to be read only with a certain key. And I have the key. So it's not the pshat that we're both stabbing a guess at the meaning of this, and therefore my meaning is as good as your meaning. There's a very specific message here. It's not just you know, my secha, your secha, there is, it's, this is a code for something. And therefore it needs to be, you know, it needs to be, what's the word for it, explained by someone that has a shaykh staff code over there. That will allow me to understand those rimazim and to explain those riddles. And someone who doesn't have those keys, it will be like a sealed sefer without any information. Just like if I get this information, we have to code to decipher it. I might as well not have gotten it. Here also, the agaritas as stories, and for me the darshan, the meaning as is apparent in the story, is missing the boat, because that's not the primary meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant over here. The primary meaning is a hidden meaning that you need to decode. That's what it's about. Okay, so we'll hold it here. My daf in Mitzrayim Tzvav. Bez Hashem. Hashem, next week we should meet again. Cult of.